있겠니?
5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network. Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel bad.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash is listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, and you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
The Pro Wrestling Ringwalk.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
I really don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
That's called the power, brother.
Before Extreme Rules, ladies and gentlemen, I am the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella. Welcome yet again to the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network. Unfortunately, the Power Andy Knowles will not be joining me tonight. The Power had a family emergency, which, of course, takes precedence over anything else. So please keep the Power Andy Knowles and, of course, the higher power in your prayers. I'm sure Andy will be back next week. But for tonight, we're going to talk some Extreme Rules. We're going to talk some news. We're also going to talk about what went down on Monday Night Raw briefly. And then I'm going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls because it is Open Line Wednesday. And quite frankly, no one wants to hear me talk by myself for 90 minutes. I couldn't blame you. Coming off the heels of Monday Night Raw, we had an interesting ending to that show, a contract signing between Brock Lesnar and John Cena. And, man, you know, John Cena looking scared. John Cena looking worried. John Cena looking not like John Cena. Lack of confidence. Is it the loss to The Rock? Is it just being afraid of a legitimate bad guy like Brock Lesnar? We shall see. But the end of Raw and Brock's promo, which I actually had to go back and listen to, and I noticed that while Paul Heyman may have written the spot and helped Brock with the spot that he's done, which they've repeated over and over again, where he talks about his re-entry into the WWE, compare that to what we heard Monday night. Brock coming out with a list of demands to John Laurinaitis saying, if you want me to pen my name on this contract, Well, let's find out, ladies and gentlemen, exactly what it was that Brock Lesnar wanted. Mind you, I suggest you wear rubber underwear during this audio segment.
Number one, you think you make all the rules and you're the boss around here, but I disagree. From now on, any thought that goes through your mind about me or anything else around here, you're going to have to run by me.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right, John. You see, now down here, since all major decisions go through me, then I'm requesting that when I come to WWE Raw, that I get Vince McMahon's private jet.
Now, hold on a second. Hold on one single solitary second. He wants Vince McMahon's private jet. Okay. Like that's going to happen. Again, I enjoyed this, but, well, listen to the rest for yourself.
And from the venue. That's right. See, John, what makes me happy is beating people up. So when I got here tonight in the so-called interview, I got a chance to beat somebody up already. There's one thing I don't like, John, and that's people.
Now, I can sort of relate to that. Other than the fine listeners of the Pro Wrestling Rewind and all of you in chat, I don't particularly care for people myself. The man who Brock Lesnar beat up was Josh Matthews, who weighs about, 125 soaking wet? Brock continues.
I don't like people, John. Especially stupid people. Another thing, I'll show up on Monday Night Raw when I want and how I want. You see, I'm not going to be your little puppet on a string like these other guys in the back. That's not me, and that ain't going to happen. Another thing, you walk around here fining people, fining a guy like Sheamus $500,000 for pushing a referee around.
Now, another thing.
You won't be fining me. In fact, you're going to be paying me more money. Until these demands are made right now, this match on Sunday,
he sucks.
I really don't care what anybody thinks or says about me, and that's supposed to annoy me. I don't get annoyed by that, John. Listen to me. Until these demands are made, there is no match at Extreme Rules.
Now, hold on. Brock, the demands were made. I think the word that you might be looking for is met. You see, when you make a demand, you request something. When your demands are met, you receive something. Once again, Brock Lesnar has more.
If, in fact, here's another thing.
Another thing.
The very last line, Section 3, Exhibit A. If I am the face of Monday night, I think that a new name has to be made. It's no longer going to be just Monday Night Raw. It's now going to be Monday Night Raw, starring Brock Lesnar. Make me happy, Mr. Laurinaitis. If you make me happy, I'll make you happy by signing this contract for Extreme Rules.
All right. For those of you who don't know what happened, basically, little Johnny Ace decided to make Brock happy and give him everything he asked for. Now, this should be interesting to see how far they're going to take it. It would be interesting to see this Monday night, after the pay-per-view, and if Brock goes over, which I'm thinking he will, but we'll get to that later, what you're going to see is the graphic on Raw actually changed. to say Monday Night Raw featuring, starring Brock Lesnar. Now, I mentioned the other day, I didn't have too much of a problem with this. Brock has improved. But I really had to re-listen to that promo. And, you know, man, Brock did repeat himself quite a few times, but it's a thought that counts. Later on in that segment, John Cena comes out with a chain wrapped around his right wrist to sign the contract, and John doesn't say a word. Brock talks about how he smells fear on John Cena, and Cena reluctantly, seemingly, signs the contract. Now, something that's interesting, and I could care less about Michael Cole, but I know my tag team partner, the Power Andy Knowles, is interested in what Michael Cole has to say. And speaking to the Power earlier, he was quite interested in the fact that, and I picked up on this as well, Michael Cole, in what was very non-heelish, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, defended Josh Matthews and basically told Jerry Lawler, you know, that can't go on. You know, you can't go around beating up announcers, beating up commentators, beating up the guys who clean the restrooms, sell the popcorn. You can't do it. I found that interesting. But on the other hand, it could also be that Michael Cole, being the fecal stain on the underwear of society, is simply scared that he might be the next person to slip at the tongue and get his rear end handed to him by Brock Lesnar. With that being said, I'm interested in what's going to happen Sunday night. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the verbal botch machine is here. Sunday night at Extreme Rules, we shall see what transpires. With that being said and out of the way, what I'd like to do right now is break down the card for Extreme Rules this Sunday night, which is rather interesting if you look at it, but yet to me seems rather brief. Our first match announced is the United States Championship title match between Santino Marella and The Miz. But here's the deal. Make sure you tune in extra early on YouTube because this will be a YouTube-only event. The WWE announced this week that it will be giving you that match away free on YouTube. Boy, you know, I kind of feel for The Miz, and I know that this may end up being the last show I do, but I feel for The Miz. This is a guy who just, man, has he fallen. Fallen hard ever since that botch. He's just been jobbing, been irrelevant, been almost below a mid-carder. And in reality, that kind of bothers me. I'm a Miz fan. I think he has a great passion for the business. He's awesome on the microphone. Gotten a lot better in the ring, and I just don't know whose doghouse he's in. But I'll tell you right now, he must go over this Sunday. If Santino Marella, and mind you, I love Santino too, but if Santino retains that title, what's left for The Miz? How do you bring this guy back up? I just don't understand the WWE's obsession with pushing a guy to the moon, crashing him back down to earth just to have to do all the work again to bring him up. I don't get it. Maybe there's a method to their madness that I don't understand. I'm just a radio show host. We're also going to have an intercontinental title match, Big Show versus Cody Rhodes, and the roles have kind of switched in this match. Before the Big Show won the Intercontinental Championship, he was being taunted horribly by Cody Rhodes. Every single week, Cody would come out and make fun of the Big Show, show video clips of the Big Show acting the fool. And at the end of the day, the Big Show went over, won the IC belt. Now, it seems every week when we watch Monday Night Raw or even SmackDown, the Big Show is the guy coming out showing humiliating segments of Cody Rhodes. Him doing his old dashing Cody gimmick and just all around getting the upper hand every single week. What that tells me is that it's most likely, in my opinion, Cody's going to get that IC title back. I mean, I like the Big Show. You know, he's funny. He's a cool guy, a nice guy. But the IC belt just doesn't seem to fit him. The IC belt was usually always reserved for guys who were like smaller. I don't know any better way to say it. The Big Show is huge. He's a heavyweight. Now, mind you, there have been guys like The Warrior, like Rick Rude, like Randy Savage, who had that title. And I understand that. But to me, that belt just doesn't fit with the Big Show. It doesn't fit on the Big Show, literally. So I just think as good an IC champ as Cody Rhodes was, I'd like to see him get that belt back. But in any event, in our next match, Randy Orton versus Kane, falls count anywhere match. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking a lot more forward to this than I was Cena versus Kane, because Orton is a sick puppy. Orton kind of has that Triple H mentality when he was a heel, even when he was a babyface, where Orton is willing to hurt someone to the point where their career is over. That's something John Cena isn't willing to do. John Cena is like Superman. He can kill Lex Luthor, but he doesn't because it violates a moral code. Randy Orton's a lot more like the Punisher. He's willing to go out and do what needs to be done to take down Kane. And after the things that Kane has done to Randy Orton, attacking his father, attacking him week in, week out, I'm not going to pick a winner here. I honestly can't, because Kane's been getting over. And Randy Orton's another guy, in my opinion, who seems to have, not as much as The Miz, mind you, nowhere near as much, been moved down a notch a bit. You know, people may disagree with me, but it just seems as if the company doesn't have the stock in Randy that they did before. And I think part of the reason for that is Randy was a better heel. Now, ironically, the fans turned Randy face, basically. If you remember, it was a very slow burn with Orton getting more and more cheers. However, I think that him as the brutal, you know, punting of the head after the match was over and just the vile things he did, very reminiscent of Triple H. And I'm hoping at some point Orton has another major heel run, because I think that in reality, that's where he's best. WWE Champion CM Punk versus Chris Jericho in a Chicago street fight. Explain to me what the difference between a hardcore match and a Chicago street fight is. I know in a Chicago street fight, usually weapons are used more. People are beating the hell out of each other in and out of the ring. But anyway, again, this is another match I'm looking really forward to. Chris Jericho over the last few weeks tormenting CM Punk. Last Monday night on Raw, we saw CM Punk forced to take a sobriety test at the request of Chris Jericho and John Laurinaitis. Basically, Chris Jericho came out and said that that CM Punk had been drinking the whole night. The WWE has a policy of no drinking within a certain number of hours before a match. Now, here's something I find interesting. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we all suffer from Alzheimer's. Does anybody remember a guy called, hold on, I need to check, look this up. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Stone Cold Steve Austin, who would literally drink, well, not really drink, but at least ingest, you can't help but ingest the stuff when you're pouring it down your throat, decent quantities of beer before a match, literally seconds before a match. So again, that doesn't make too much sense to me. But in any event, we had this segment on Raw where CM Punk is forced to take a sobriety test. He's asked to recite the alphabet backwards, which, if you didn't know, was ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA. But Orton had a lot of trouble doing that, so he was then asked to walk a straight line. Punk had trouble doing that as well. At the end, Teddy Long, who is now the puppy dog of John Laurinaitis, was told that he had to strip CM Punk of his world title. However, CM Punk, begging for one more chance, succeeded in saying the alphabet backwards. Actually, he missed a letter, but who's counting? And then proceeded to walk the straight line perfectly, therefore demanding his world title championship back. And he got it back, which was the right decision, because I would have rioted if Punk would have been stripped of that title. Chris Jericho, it's been said, is heavily promoting his band again and may not be around long term. So would it make sense to put the title on Chris Jericho? I don't see it happening. However, with that being said, you know, Punk did get over on Jericho this past Monday. So we all know on Raws where one guy gets over, it's usually a hint that the other guy's going over at the pay-per-view. We shall see. Our final two announced matches, World Heavyweight Champion Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Why is it a 2 out of 3 falls match? I think because they want to give people the match that we should have had at WrestleMania. This is going to be a lengthy match. And the reason I say that is the crowd has completely turned on poor Sheamus. You know, that decision for him to go over in 18 seconds or whatever it was at WrestleMania, you know, that's a guy doing what he's told. And I know a lot of fans don't realize that. Also, of course, Daniel Bryan getting over with his yes, 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 chance. And I think the fact that the WWE has actually released a yes, yes, yes t-shirt, you know, is showing that they're seeing the crowd reaction and that this guy is over. Now, he's over more in some arenas than others. He was way over overseas. He was way over a week or two ago, where fans were actually chanting yes, 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 several minutes after his match, after the show was over, pardon me. So this is going to be a lengthy match. I think WWE's trying to make up for past sins by giving us this 2 out of 3 falls match. Again, another match I'm looking forward to. And, of course, in the Coupe de Gras, which will most likely, well, no, definitely be your main event, John Cena, I'm scared of Brock, versus Brock Lesnar in an Extreme Rules match. Look for these guys to pummel each other to near death. You know, in a legit shoot fight, you know, a real non-scripted street fight, Brock would probably break Cena in half. But the bottom line is, Cena's a strong guy. Cena's a really tough guy. If anyone out there doesn't think that Cena can hold his own against most guys, you're nuts. I mean, I'm looking for this to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. But in the end, who goes over, to me, is a lot simpler than some people may think. I think Brock has to go over. What would be the point of bringing Brock in to simply have him job to John Cena after what? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? You know, Cena showing fear. I think the bottom line is John Cena, you know, we've talked about this before. He's needed time off. He doesn't need time off. He's needed time off in the extreme plural. This guy has been going nonstop on every show, doing Make-A-Wish, God bless him, doing all these public appearances, even slipping in and doing movies, and doing movies and continuing to wrestle without it interrupting his schedule all that much. No one will doubt John Cena's work ethic, but John, you got a wife, dude. You know, stay home for a couple months. Lounge on the beach. Spend some of those millions Vince is paying you. Let Brock run with it for a while. Let the kiddies miss you for a while. Because you know what? Longing makes the heart grow stronger. So if John Cena's out for a month or two and he comes back, even the people like myself who are not big fans of John Cena's character might find that fondness again if we don't have to see this guy for a while, who we've seen at every pay-per-view in the last 2-3 years, on every Raw, many SmackDowns. I think a lot of people are John Cena'd out. And you could have Brock move along as this unstoppable, unbeatable monster. I recently heard that there are there's match plans in the works for SummerSlam for, I believe, Brock and Randy Orton, which is really interesting. That is another thing that tells me that Randy Orton, if this is true, goes over this Sunday. With that being said, I got to give my voice a rest, guys, for a minute. We're going to take a commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
In March of 2012, the two former hosts of the popular CauseCast radio show, the Phenom Charles Shane and Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ Sixay, reunited on Friday nights to cover WWE SmackDown, the latest news in the world of professional wrestling, the world of gaming, and entertainment. If you tune in on Friday nights, starting at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, on the SNS Radio Network located at www.snsradionetwork.com, perhaps you can listen to the U-Team on the new Unplugged.
The band is back together!
It's time.
It's time to stop.
The name calling.
The hurt.
The bullying.
Because of race, creed,
color,
sexual orientation.
It's time to treat everyone like you want to be treated.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to eliminate.
Eliminate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Eliminate the hate.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com, the place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Hey guys, this is Glory, the WrestleWitch champion, and you're listening to The Power, Andy Knowles on Pro Wrestling Rewind.
All right, here we are back again on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. The Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella, with you. Going solo tonight, folks. Once again, The Power had a family emergency. I hope I will hear from him before the night's over, because I am concerned about how everything's going. But once again, we will do our best. You know, something that kind of upset me earlier was looking at the ratings for the past few Impacts on, of course, Spike TV. Man, you know, one thing TNA had in its favor was their ratings weren't getting much higher, but they were staying pretty steady. Between a 1.1, 1.2 occasionally, even a 1.3 on a good night. But the last week or two, and I'm apologize that I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but we're talking like 0.93, 0.94. And it's a shame because I think Impact has been good the last couple of weeks. I know there are millions and millions of people out there who will disagree with me. Again, I'm done with that. I'm not going to try to bring you over to the dark side. I'm just going to comment on it. But I feel kind of bad for these guys. I mean, they've literally tried everything. And man, I just don't know. Thank goodness Spike re-signed them, so they'll be around for a while. Because again, I enjoy it. Quite frankly, my opinion is the only one that matters to me. Moving right along to some news from this week. Beth Phoenix is suffering from a legitimate injury, and it was the reason why she had to drop the WWE Divas title during Monday Night Raw. Phoenix will be undergoing an MRI to see the extent of her injury, which WWE.com is listing as a possible bad ligament strain in her ankle. Ouch. The now former Divas champion wrote on Twitter that she had to be helped through the airport because she couldn't walk. She also said that she's been in this position before, and if there's one thing she knows how to do is rise from the ashes. Quote, the title will be mine again, hashtag unbreakable, unquote. Phoenix has been champion for 205 days. My God, I didn't realize that. That's rather impressive. One of the longest reigns ever for a woman's champion before she was defeated this past Monday by Nikki Bella. Now, what I take from this article is Beth is damn good at selling, because from what I what I was led to believe, Beth was injured in the ring Monday night. But they're saying the reason she dropped the title was because she had an injury prior. Now, they didn't say that this was a quick change decision where Beth says to the ref, listen, I'm going to be out, I'm hurt, we got to change the finish. If that even happens, I'm not a booker, I don't know. But if Beth did go into that match injured, kudos to her, because you really wouldn't have noticed it at the beginning. You know, it's a shame that one of the few decent female competitors that the WWE has had to have gotten injured. Man, I feel sorry for Beth. I don't like hearing about any pro wrestler getting hurt. It's just, ah, man, it's too bad. you know, I hope everyone will join me in hoping Beth has a speedy recovery and that this isn't too complicated and that she won't be out too long. But I mean, 205 days, are you kidding me? Just goes to show you how much faith the WWE really has in its other female competitors to allow her to hold that title for that long. For those of you who don't know, Andy Levine, yes, Silent Rage. Shh. You hear the rage. Listen to the rage. Well, you don't have to worry about not hearing his rage anymore because he's been released from the WWE. Now, Tough Enough host Stone Cold Steve Austin and trainer Bill DeMott gave their first comments following last year's competition, Andy Levine's dismissal from WWE. My hope is Andy continues to follow his course and get some well-needed experience. I like Andy and wish him much success, DeMott wrote on his Twitter after news broke out about the release. DeMott added that just because you win doesn't mean you are going to make it, and name drop Daniel Pewter as an example. Now, this was really interesting. Steve Austin was more direct with his comment, apparently getting flooded by fans who messaged him about probably choosing the wrong winner. Big Andy won Tough Enough all day long and twice on Sunday. Thanks for your passion and opinions. Like it or not, he won. End of story. So, Steve Austin giving a little pat on the back to Andy. Now, mind you, Andy did fail a wellness test. Maybe it was one of those situations where Vince McMahon saw that this kid might be trouble and decided to let him go. Oh, well, I wish Andy luck in all his future endeavors. Hey, maybe he'll show up in TNA. Who knows? I think it could work for him in TNA, possibly. But he's green. I think they bring these guys up too fast. You know, when you don't give enough training and don't give enough, you know, mic training and in-ring training and just dealing with the crowds, this is what happens. This is the time of year after WrestleMania where the WWE takes out the old broom and sweeps the shed, and it looks like the first dust bunny to go is Andy Levine. WWE, now mind you, I know this is a worked story, but I'm going to report on it anyway because I find the faith in kayfabe laughable. WWE.com has posted an article updating the injury status of Josh Matthews after being attacked by Brock Lesnar on Raw Monday night. The article notes, Detroit, WWE.com has learned that Josh Matthews is in stable condition following a vicious attack at the hands of Brock Lesnar during Raw Super Show in Detroit Monday night. Matthews had been interviewing the self-proclaimed wrecking machine about his upcoming Extreme Rules contest against John Cena and Lesnar. Evidently unhappy with the quality of Matthews' questions, he snapped and drove the helpless Matthews through the interview set, leaving him strewn across the backstage area while paramedics rushed to his aid. Now, if a person is strewn across the backstage area, isn't that more of a horror movie type scenario? How can you be in one piece yet be strewn across the backstage area? I mean, was there a leg one place? Was there an arm another? Was his head rolling around, you know, the buffet area? What's up with that? You gotta love how a multi-million dollar company just takes the King's English and uses it as toilet paper. Well done, WWE. Well done. In a more serious and tragic news story, the following has been reported by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. former WCW pro wrestler Marcus Buff Bagwell remained in intensive care Tuesday night after being seriously injured in a Cherokee County wreck, a wrestling spokesman told the AJC. Bagwell flipped his Jeep several times on Town Lake Parkway late Monday, leaving him with broken bones in his neck and face and a broken jaw. Ron Gossett, president of Universal Championship Wrestling, said Tuesday night, Bagwell, 42, was transported to Wellstar Kennistone Hospital, where he remained sedated due to the extent of his injuries. Man, you know, again, I hate hearing that. You know, say what you want about Buff. He came to the WWE and he just didn't do the right thing and, you know, got let go. You didn't hear much about him or read much about him since WCW went under. But, you know, that's a shame. I'm praying, I'm hoping this wasn't a case where, you know, drugs and alcohol were involved and, you know, or prescription pills or anything like that. I'm hoping that this was just, you know, a legit accident. Legit accidents do happen. But if you ask guys like Kurt Angle, Scott Hall, non-legit accidents also happen. And unfortunately, while I haven't read anything about this, you know, there's been no report to my knowledge that any type of illegal activity was, you know, being done at the time. But let's hope that, you know, Buff Bagwell will be okay. He was a guy I always enjoyed in WCW. I loved his rivalry with Lex Luger. I almost said Lex Luthor. With Lex Luger. Yes, yes, Superman. Lex Luthor in WCW with his kryptonite, Lex Luger. I liked his role in the NWO. He was one of the guys who was brought in a little later on, but I thought had a good role. He's just a big mouth who I guess he tends to say what he feels, and you know, the WWE doesn't always like that. With that being said, I'm going to open up the phone lines a little early tonight, 501-588-7957, 501-588-7957, or you can add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype. It's interesting to me, getting back to TNA. I'm wondering what trend is being set by the fact that these ratings are going down, down, down. I just, you know, it what scares me is it says that a lot of the big loyal TNA fans are tuning out. And that's a shame. But what other, you know, what else can you take from that? You know, you look back, and I don't want to turn this into an exclusively TNA show, but we don't always talk TNA on the Rewind, and I just thought it'd be interesting. You know, coming off of their last pay-per-view and coming off the last couple of editions of Impact, I would say maybe the last 4, 5, 6 weeks of the show, they've been trying everything. And I listened to an old debate today on my way home from work by Trey and JJ and Krelly. It was an episode of Unplugged, which you can catch every Friday night at 10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain, where JJ was talking about back in the day when TNA had that EV 2.0 pay-per-view. Basically bringing in ECW originals, guys like Tommy Dreamer, Raven, to wrestle in that pay-per-view. And, of course, JJ wasn't too happy about it. But with that being said, you do have a call on line one, area code 209. You're live on the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hey there, Bronx. It's Anthony.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Well, since the power sale. Let's just skip the whole porn thing. Get to the actual reason I'm calling.
Okay.
I heard that one of the reasons probably why Buff got hurt or got in an accident because he suffered a seizure.
Oh.
And apparently he's getting at least now a feeding tube.
Oh, wow. See, I didn't read that far into it. The last, the newest article I had seen didn't mention that. It mentioned that he was in intensive care. Oh, my. Wow, that's... Well, you know, it sounds worse than maybe it is. I mean, obviously, if you've got a broken jaw, you're drinking fluids for months. So, you know, you'd need a feeding tube. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in his position.
And the whole Lesnar-Cena match, I mean, it is a big match, but I think it's more or less focused on how Lesnar is actually does in that match. Because if he just says, sucks the life out of that arena, people are just like, okay, we were happy he came back. Will we get this piece of shit?
That's one for the swear jar.
But, oh, I had more. Don't worry.
But I hear what you're saying. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, as far as getting it done in the ring or at most likely Sunday outside of the ring as well, I have no worries about Brock handling that. His promo skills still need some work. He's improved. But once that bell rings, oh, I'm not worried about Brock at all.
Yeah, and they need to have something real good for this match. Because let's say Cena does win, which I'm kind of like leaning towards Lesnar win. Say Cena gets lucky and gets a roll-up. Fans going to be pissed off. Even if they have Lesnar take him out right after with an injury, fans are still going to be pissed off.
Well, you know, I don't subscribe to the theory. See, here's the thing. They like to send the crowd home happy. We've heard that a million times. But the thing is, the majority of the crowd would be happy if Cena got broken in two. You know what I mean? If they're willing to drop, you know, the whole kiddie thing where they all they care about is, you know, people between the ages of 5 and 13. If they're willing to send the majority of the adult crowd and the adult pay-per-view buyer home happy, Brock's going to go over. And he has to. If Cena wins, what do you do with Brock then?
Well, they can't really put him with any big match. I say don't put him against any big, big, big stars until, like, say, SummerSlam for that Orton match and something like that. Because if they just put him with everybody right ahead, he's going to run him through. He's going to get through them all before the year's over.
Well, you. Well, first of all, Brock's not going to be on every Raw. He's got that contract where he doesn't have to appear or wrestle every week.
Yeah, but wasn't it a stipulation that they can adjust it if they have to? Because I think he was on 3 Raws this month.
Well, I don't know if there's a stipulation in there, but again, you know, like I said once before, if Vince goes to Brock and says, look, I know this is what we agreed on, but we want you for 3 more appearances. Here's a check for $750,000. And again, Brock will be like, okay, I'll show up 2 more times. No problem, Vince. You know, I've never agreed with signing someone. Brock, in my eyes, isn't big enough to get a contract like that. I don't know how to say it. He's big enough in what he's done in the MMA, but that's a contract you give to a grizzled popular veteran like The Rock, you know, or even Jericho at this point, or Taker, or Triple H. I don't know. I don't agree with bringing a guy in when he has limited appearances. You know, again, TNA learned that the hard way with RVD. They learned it the hard way with a couple of guys who they signed for only a limited amount of appearances.
In my opinion, for the pay-per-view, let Punk keep it, and before Jericho leaves, have him develop, help bring up some guys. I mean, have him have a feud with Kofi Kingston, since those guys have great matches. Get Kofi up to like more main event status. And well, for, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
And like for, let Cody lose the match, then go for the world title, because I think Sheamus might likely retain. And then have like Del Rio go for the Intercontinental belt with Big Show, since he's been beating Big Show more than once.
Yeah, true. You know, Cody losing, Sunday could be looked at in two different ways. Sometimes you don't have to win to be elevated. Sometimes a loss gives that guy a kick in the butt that he needs to bring it to the next level. And you could have Cody come out Monday or whenever and say, listen, yeah, I lost to show again Sunday, but that's because my focus hasn't been where it should be. You know what? To heck with the IC belt. I'm above that now. I'm going for the world title. Yeah, I can see that. Not bad.
And if they don't end the Sheamus Bryan Matt program at the pay-per-view, have like a best of five or seven series between those two and let it end at like the next pay-per-view with like a big match.
Well, yeah, but the problem with a best of five out of seven series is we really haven't gotten to see what these guys can do against each other, because last year, if you remember at WrestleMania, at 27, it was the dark match. This year, it was an 18-second match. Yeah, if they can have match of the night, definitely. But I've really yet to see them lock horns for a long period of time. And I think it's got to be a good match. For the WWE to have the confidence to make it a 2 out of 3 falls, which you know, okay? You're a smart enough guy to know. It's going to the third fall. They always do. When was the last 2 out of 3 falls match you saw where a guy got 2 straight falls? Never.
Actually, I remember Chris Benoit beat Kurt Angle in the UK pay-per-view 2 straight. So it has happened, but more or less not likely to happen at the pay-per-view this time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you know, one of those rare things. It could be interesting to see a guy get 2 falls in a row just to, like, have the crowd go, really? But who knows, man? You know, WWE, how their minds work, only God knows.
And people all over, and as I said on WNL, which you were take over for JJ, who was sick at that time as well.
Yes.
People were saying having Undertaker come back for the Lesnar match. That's no offense. That would be good, but I don't think it should happen. Have him have matches with some other people he hasn't faced, like Lesnar, Orton, Lesnar, Punk, stuff like that.
I got one for you. Check this out. If he's willing, and of course, physically able to go one more match. You remember the whole debacle between Brock and Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah, but I remember Austin was okay with that. He just said, I don't want to throw away such a big opening match out of the blue on free TV, because WCW did that, and they basically just fucked themselves over.
That's true.
And then the coin. Yep.
Oh, yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but, you know, how many fans know that? You know? It would be great to have Austin maybe come back and say to Brock, you know, you see, boy, you know, this is why I left, and this is why, you know, I wasn't willing to wrestle you, because I see the kind of guy you are. You're not about the business. You're selfish. You're making all these demands. You know, you're just a pissant. You're a punk. You're a kid. I mean, you can imagine the promo that Austin could cut on Brock. And even if, let's say, Austin physically can't or won't wrestle, how about have him as the guest referee at SummerSlam? I could see that in the Brock-Orton match.
Yeah, because the last time they were in the ring together, Lesnar flipped off Austin, Austin stunned him, and Lesnar left.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, but most likely I would like to see if Lesnar doesn't face Cena or Rock at Mania, Triple H, or have that for Survivor Series.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do with Brock. And what I like about this is we're talking about it because Brock's an open book at this point. So, you know, they're going to write the first chapter of his new book this Sunday, and let's see where it goes from there. But, yeah, there's a lot you could do with Brock. Anyway, Anthony, thank you for calling, my friend. Gonna let you
in power. I hope you get better wherever your situation is. I hope it's be dealt with well, no trouble.
Yeah, I second that. All right, man, have a good night.
Okay, bye.
All right, Anthony Farley, a regular caller here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. The king of porn country, as the power would say. But he brings up some good points and some good ideas as well. To me, it's like, you know, like I said, Brock is an open book. There are so many things you could do with Brock, so many guys you can put him with. And I know right now he's an unstoppable monster, but think about this. Brock is in a great position to put some young talent over. Now, I know that's unheard of in the WWE. But with that being said, Brock goes over John Cena Sunday. Now, whoever he starts feuding with after that, if it happens, he has the potential to elevate someone to the moon, because imagine you being able to beat the guy that beat John Cena. What that does is vicariously, through Brock, you've beaten Cena without beating Cena. Now, if I'm going too fast for you, I'll explain. If I beat a guy to a bloody pulp, and the next month another guy comes along and beats me to a bloody pulp.
Yeah, who's this?
Welcome to the
third time you need to call me. Why are you calling me so much? Yeah, this is the third time. What do you want?
Caller, you're live on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, and I'd like to know exactly what you want. Let me make this abundantly clear. If there's anyone out there who thinks that it's entertaining or funny to call into this show and not to ever undermine the power Andy Knowles, because he's a guy who I have the utmost respect for, right now, tonight, this is my show. And I am not the veteran that the Trey Dog and JJ and the Power are. I am not as experienced as they are. I would like to know exactly what the hell that was. And if anyone out there thinks that I'm a pushover, I can guarantee you, if you would have stayed on the air for another 90 seconds instead of signing off or hanging up like a punk, I would have verbally destroyed you to the point where you would pay me to not archive this show so no one ever heard it again. Anyone out there who wants to call into this show and act stupid or play pranks or think it's funny to try to sabotage anything that I'm doing on the air or anything anyone on the network does on this air, anyone on the network does, you are sadly mistaken, because believe me, I'm not the guy. I've never been the guy. I never will be the guy. And I'm not the guy now. So you know what? Whoever that was, if you thought that was funny, call back and stay on for more than 30 seconds so I can embarrass you, humiliate you, and make you out for the punk that you are. In any event, getting back to business, getting back to Brock Lesnar. He has a great opportunity to be put in a position to put people over. And I think at the end of the day, that's something a guy like Brock needs to do, because if he does beat Cena, man, he's just a powder keg for anybody. With that being said, we're going to take our second commercial break. When I come back, I'm going to take your phone calls, which is always a risk. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Rewind. I'm the Bronx Father. We'll be right back.
This
is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Have you been looking for wrestling radio that entertains and informs? Then make sure you tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the four-time People's Choice Show of the Year, Wrestling News Live, with the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay, where anything can and usually does happen, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network, www.snsradionetwork.com. See you in chat.
What it comes down to is being the best.
We talked about mind games. You talked about physicality.
The game!
Set! Game over!
Look for the Authentic Wear label on the shirt. Here comes the fame. Sold only at WWEshop.com and at all WWE live events.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com, the place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Here, let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia, featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell. Each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, it's go time.
Hey everybody, this is Jerry Crisco. I'm on this fantastic program, Pro Wrestling Rewind. You too can listen and participate. All you gotta do is go to the website to the SNS Network.
Back here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella. The phone lines are still open, 501-588-7957. We're not going to be going over tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be on for another half hour, so please get your calls in. I'm interested on everyone's opinion on Extreme Rules. I want to know if you guys are looking as forward to it as I am. I really think that if you ignore some of the shenanigans on Monday Night Raw, they've done a pretty good job of pushing this pay-per-view. And even just the two matches that I'm looking the most forward to, which is, of course, you know, as we talked about in depth, Brock Lesnar and John Cena. And I'm really looking forward to CM Punk and Jericho just because of all the emotions that were involved in this match. But, I'd like to fast forward for a moment. Fast forward to what could happen and what might happen this year. You know, we're really into the new season of the WWE. We're just done with WrestleMania. Guys are getting fired. You know, guys like The Miz, who were in everyone's graces, are being, you know, buried apparently. And just, I'm thinking forward to what could be this year, what we will see, who will be elevated. You've got guys like Brodus Clay, who honestly, last Monday, you know, Brodus Clay and Hornswoggle against your tag team champions, Epico and Primo. I just think to myself about how devalued these tag titles have become. Thank God and I'll channel my inner Andy Knowles tonight. Thank Jesus that this was not for the tag titles. Can you imagine the Funkasaurus and Horny? Well, no, not Anthony Farley. Hornswoggle with the tag team titles. I'm also rather interested in this new storyline that's beginning with Abraham Washington. Yes, Abraham Washington, not David Otunga, because I know that will haunt me for the rest of my life. But Abraham going out, giving out these cards, these business cards. Does anyone smell stable? I mean, really, you've got Epico and Primo, who you want to talk about being in the doghouse, no pun intended, for my good friend the Trey Dog. Being in the doghouse for the last couple of weeks and months. You know, I'd love to see an angle, and I'll fantasy book here for a moment, where Washington comes in and starts giving his business card to guys like Epico and Primo, guys like The Miz, guys like Dolph Ziggler, you know, guys like even Zack Ryder, guys like Biff, yes, I know, Biff Swagger, and saying, look, you guys aren't being given anything. Look at the people you have to fight. Look at the people you've been put against. I like that promo Washington cut where he says, look, you, as far as Epico and Primo concerned, you guys weren't on WrestleMania. You know, you come out tonight on Raw, look at, you know, what you have to face. And just, I don't know, just do something to help elevate these guys and, you know, start a stable. Start a stable of angry young men. I think that would be awesome. Because there are guys in the WWE who aren't being utilized right now. There are guys in the WWE who are just, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, man. But I mean, you know, Miz is just, I don't know what's going on with him. We shall see. We shall see. I also wonder what will happen in TNA wrestling with the new theme that Hulk Hogan seems to be setting up, where the TV title will be, and as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. Once again, just jobbing in my head, and I know I'm going to get hell from this. Yes, I believe it was actually Biff Swagger and Dolph Ziggler who fought the Funkasaurus and Hornswoggle the past Monday night. I have so much wrestling on the brain that I wish, Brass Eye, I wish you had the buzzer, man, because I am just, I apologize. Regardless, all four of those men are treated with exactly the same regard. So, yeah, it's easy to mix them up. Jobber one, jobber two, jobber three, jobber four. The Bronx Father is confused. There's just too many jobbers to keep track of. But as far as TNA wrestling is concerned, I like the TV title being defended every week on TV, which is where it should be defended. I like this open challenge format every single week where some guy can come out and challenge another guy. I find it very, very interesting to see where this is going to go and to who they're going to bring in. Because basically this open challenge is listed as anybody from anywhere can come in and challenge someone. That could make for bringing in some unknown talent. Of course, TNA does have a developmental deal going on. Could be a good way to introduce us to some new guys. Could even be a way, and this will never, ever happen, but it could be cool to even see a couple of Ring of Honor guys show up, maybe do an invasion angle. TNA needs to do something because, again, when your ratings are very steady for 2-3 years and they suddenly start to drop where they've never, ever dropped before, you've got a problem, because what that means is the loyalists that you have, you're losing. And as of right now, if you look at the ratings, they're losing some regular viewers. That is not a good thing. So, with that being said, once again, the phone lines are still open for anyone who wants to call in. 501-588-7957. Moving on to some possible matches for next year's WrestleMania. I've been thinking, again, going to fast forward a little bit tonight. We're going to go into the future a little bit rather than rewind. I'd like some opinions on who The Undertaker could fight for number 21. Now, this is interesting. You've got Brock, who's running roughshod over John Cena. I could see Undertaker versus Brock again. That's possible. If, of course, Undertaker is in fact going to have a 21st WrestleMania match. I'm thinking he will. I'm also thinking about guys like The Rock, who that match would be epic. It'd be great to see. But you'd have to question, what would The Rock's reason be for wanting to take on Taker? There's a lot of possibilities there. Looking into the future again, if CM Punk goes over this Sunday, he and Jericho are done. What's up for him? But right now, we have a caller on the line. Line 1, area code 909. You're live on the Rewind.
Yo, Bronx Hotel 3.
What's up, man?
Hey, calling in with the solo show today. There was something I wanted to run by you that I actually remember you and Trey talking about back at the lockdown pay-per-view, and you know, you might have a little thoughts on Extreme Rules this Sunday, but I wanted to run this part by you first.
Sure.
But it was something that you guys had alluded to. I'm not sure if you remember this. I believe it was at the start of Austin Aries' match, where you guys were regarding how TNA had sort of gone along with the reaction that Aries had been getting along with the crowd, and made the decision to go ahead and turn him babyface. You remember that, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, it also made me think about, you guys were talking about how, you know, TNA has listened to the fans more in regards like that over WWE, and it made me think of some comparisons as to how WWE had the chance to do that with Daniel Bryan after the whole thing with Sheamus happened at WrestleMania, because obviously the next night on Raw, and pretty much ever since then, the whole Yes thing had started, which I understand did sort of originate in at one of the Ring of Honor pay-per-views, but it really is, I think, carried over so much more ever since that. I want to know kind of what your take is about that, like if there are any other scenarios that come to mind, and if there are perhaps any other differences that you can really think of besides just that.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to listen to your fans to an extent. If you bring a guy out who you want to be a heel, and no matter what dastardly thing he does, the fans are still cheering him. Well, you know, no matter what the big machine known as the WWE wants to say, or the slightly smaller machine known as TNA wants to say about how much control they have over things, the bottom line is the fans turn people. The fans are going to have their own voice, their own mind, and cheer for who they want to cheer and boo who they want to boo. So if they're cheering Daniel Bryan and they keep cheering Daniel Bryan, eventually you have no choice. He's going to become a babyface. The same thing happened with Austin Aries, and I think it's a positive that TNA did listen to the fans this time, because if you remember, when Jeff Hardy first showed up and they wanted him to be heel and the fans were still going ape nuts for him, you know, they kept trying to force him down your throat as a heel, and it failed. So learning from your mistakes is a positive thing.
Well, you know, I see that, and I hear what you're saying about Aries. You know, I do like cheering for Aries, but, you know, at the same time, I also do enjoy how he can really just get on your nerves with his, you know, cocky attitude, and he really does play the heel role, you know, to a T, sort of like what we saw with Robert Roode back, I believe, at Victory Road. You know, even though I couldn't see the footage, just hearing you and Shark and Trey give the broadcast about just how heelish Roode was after the match with Sting, and just how well he was playing off of that. I'm hoping that would be something they wouldn't try to do with Roode. I mean, luckily, you know, he's not getting the cheers that Aries was when he was heel, but I'm hoping that's something they wouldn't try to do with Roode.
Well, I mean, it depends, you know, what reaction Roode starts getting. Right now, Roode, as far as I see, is still very hated. I mean, the fans are really, you know, behind James Storm. And the thing... James Storm. I don't know what's the matter with me tonight. Yes. I'm just, oh man, I'm so burnt out. Like I said, I've had a bad week. But yes, I understand what you're saying, but you have to go by what your fans do. When they boo, you have to say, okay, this guy needs to be a heel. When they cheer, you say this guy has to be a babyface. But let's take a look at what I was mentioning earlier. Randy Orton. Randy Orton is a guy who the fans turned face, but I don't think that really succeeded. I always thought he was a better heel. And Roode is a guy who really has impressed me with how bad he can be. I never would have thunk it, like they say, but yeah. He's really playing that heel role to the point where you can't stomach him. But eventually, I think the fans know he's an old school TNA guy, and they're going to get back behind him.
All right, I can see that. You know, on the flip side, also what I was talking about with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, do you think that with this whole 18 seconds thing that happened, do you think they've kind of put the Cena essence on Sheamus? Because, I mean, whenever you're watching a live show and Sheamus is coming out, he's getting the Cena reaction. He's getting the mix of cheers and boos. Like, I don't know how, what, well, I can kind of take a guess, I guess, what kind of reaction you're going to be hearing when Sheamus and Bryan's match comes up. Because you know you're going to get all the yeses going on when Bryan's skipping down the ring, and I'm pretty sure we're going to be hearing again the whole mix of cheers and boos when Sheamus comes out. But it feels like ever since Mania, he's got the Cena heat a little bit. He gets cheers and boos, and I'm wondering if that's something he's going to be labeled with from now on.
Well, it's possible. It's possible. But what it also, you know, what it could be is you have to take out your frustrations on someone. And, you know, when you're ponying up $54 or $65, depending on whether you want standard def or high def for a pay-per-view, and you get an 18-second title match, I think that's a testament to that the fans, you know, do care about that title, did want to see that match. And,
absolutely.
You know, the fans are angry. And the way it went down, yes, Daniel Bryan should have been on his game. He shouldn't have been arguing, fighting, battling with AJ in the corner or kissing her or demeaning her, whatever he was doing. He was giving her a kiss. And it's kind of like, you know, you're in the middle of kissing your girlfriend. Yeah, the bell rang. And Sheamus comes out, takes advantage of the situation. Yeah, that's kind of heelish. And Bryan has always had a following. I mean, if you remember the whole controversy when Daniel Bryan, you know, choked out a ring announcer with his tie. And because Linda McMahon was running for Senate, we had, whether it was a work or a shoot, a firing. Even Shawn Michaels, whether Shawn was in it or not, whether he knew it or not, he worked it on Twitter like he was really ticked off. So Bryan's always had a following. And now I think it's really shining through because I think a lot of fans think he got screwed at WrestleMania. Your thoughts?
You're definitely right about Bryan always having a following. I mean, I think whether you've watched Ring of Honor or not, you know, like hardcore style over the past few years, like my first exposure was really, I forget the actual name of the pay-per-view, whether it was like Rise of Glory or something like that. What was it? My first exposure to Ring of Honor had Bryan Danielson in the main pay-per-view. You know, well, him and Takeshi Morishima, I think it was, versus Nigel McGuinness and Kenta. That was my first exposure to him. And even though I haven't been able to see, you know, every pay-per-view, I got a great chance to check out a whole lot of him over the years. So I can definitely testify that he does have quite a big following and one that's definitely grown over the years and has finally, you know, taken development into the WWE.
Well, see, I don't watch that much Ring of Honor. I just don't have the time. I mean, hell, I'm mixing up Otunga with Abraham Washington. I'm mixing up the, you know, Jack Swagger.
Trey was right, man. Do we all look the same to you?
Nah, man. What does that have to do with tonight? You know, I was talking about two Puerto Rican dudes and two white dudes I mixed up. It's just... I'm fired. Andy's going to kill me. I'm fired. I'm fired. I'm gone. I'm gone.
Oh, hey, at least you didn't mix up Epico and Primo with Hunico and Camacho again. That's one plus.
But that would be easier to do. It's just that, it, you know, in all seriousness, I don't watch much Ring of Honor, but I know their fans are rabid. I mean, I've heard it. I hope I can find enough time to get into it more because I heard that they have excellent matches. They have excellent, you know, pay-per-views. And unfortunately, my cable market doesn't get Ring of Honor. But yeah, their fans are passionate. I mean, look at some of the guys we've got. Samoa Joe, CM Punk, you know, Daniel Bryan, some of the guys who come from Ring of Honor and really have made their mark in the big two companies. So Ring of Honor must be doing something right. And hopefully I'll try to dedicate some more time to giving them attention because I think they're worth the watch. And if they could get a big enough TV deal, man, wow, who knows what they could do.
I would love to see it, man. I mean, we got WWE, we got TNA out here in Cali, and I think separated a little bit from porn country where Anthony is. Sorry to throw you under the bus again, but we got NWA Hollywood out here. All of those programs I always enjoy watching. If Ring of Honor can get a bigger TV deal and then get something out here that's viewable in my neck of the woods out here in California, I would definitely watch. I would love to catch it every time.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the more content that you can have, the more wrestling content, the better off you are. Because as a fan, you know, you get tired of the WWE. You know, I get tired of them every so often, and it's good to have that. Maybe that's why I'm with guys like Trey, who are, you know, TNA backers. And I'm a TNA backer. I don't think it's, I think, you know, between guys like Trey and I, it's for different reasons. You know, Trey has been covering them since day one. You know, he and JSK obviously were friends with a lot of the TNA people. But I haven't experienced that. But the reason I kind of, I back them and I support them when they do right, and I think they've been doing right for the most part the last few weeks and months, is because I, as a wrestling fan, don't want just one thing to watch.
Well, variety.
Exactly. You know, variety is the spice of life. And, you know, that's why I continue to support TNA. But like I said, as far as the days of me trying to, you know, defend them against the haters, I'm done, because haters are going to hate, lovers are going to love, and you want to hate it, hate it. I don't care. That's just where I'm at.
That's a little way. I'll critique them when they need to be critiqued, but with the impacts that have been on the last couple of weeks, I got to say they've been doing a great job. From what I heard of Lockdown, it sounds like it was a great pay-per-view, despite what some of the internet bashers want to say. So, you know, hey, hopefully it's a step up in the right direction for TNA. I mean, I know guys like AJ, JJ. Damn it, Bronx, now you're screwing up. It's starting to affect me now. Jeez.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, I'm a train wreck. I'm just, like I said, everything I've touched, and it started last Thursday, so I'm praying tomorrow that my horrendous luck will end. But since last Thursday, everything I've touched has turned to just junk. So,
well, I wish it wouldn't be a train wreck, because that kind of hits a little bit home with me right there. But, I know, you know, some guys like JJ, they kind of, you know, they've written TNA off, even though JJ has fairly given them their chances in the past. But I do think that hopefully they'll be on the right path. Whether certain people, you know, behind the scenes, you know, vacate the company or not, I think we all know what certain people I'm talking about. But I think that's pretty much it. I'm going to go ahead and head out, and give yourself a good rest of the night, man.
All right, man. Thanks for calling, man. Take care.
You too. Peace.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony it wasn't Anthony Farley. No, he was the first caller. That was L Train. I did that on purpose, by the way. Don't start giving me heat in the chat. In any event, I will take one more phone call within the next 5 minutes. If you want to call in and talk, 501-588-7957. But in the meantime, I'm going to begin to wrap this up. You know, my final thoughts about what L Train said about JJ, you know, here's the difference. JJ is a guy who decided a while ago to stop watching TNA because he didn't like it. I got no problem with that. None whatsoever. If you don't like something, don't watch it. That's fine. My problem is, and this is the problem that I have with people who talk about TNA in a negative light, is that every month you will read the same people over and over again talking about how bad TNA is. Well, if you've been watching for 10 months, and for 10 months straight, you've written a blog or a column bashing TNA, you don't like it. If I go to a restaurant and the food is terrible and I get food poisoning, I don't go back. But the IWC, most members of the IWC, seem to be masochists in that they will keep watching something that they've been very vocal in telling us they can't stand. Well, if you can't stand it, why are you watching it and commenting on it for 15 months straight? Why are you still watching it? That is the problem that I have. If you tell me, I don't like TNA, it stinks, I don't watch it. Okay. But if you tell me I've watched TNA for the last 20 weeks in a row and it sucks, well, my question is, then why are you still watching it? Why are you still going to that restaurant and getting that food poisoning if it's so bad? Why are you watching it? Well, you're watching it because you like to bitch. That's all I can say on that. In any event, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to wrap up this show. Make sure you stay tuned for all the other shows right here on the SNS Radio Network. Take a listen to the Elite Force podcast, both parts 1 and 2 of their third year anniversary special are now archived. The Trade Dog comes along for the ride, and they go over some great sci-fi music. They honor the composers and the writers of sci-fi music. Very interesting, captivating show. If you haven't listened to it, please check it out. Of course, this Friday, hopefully, JJ All Cap Sexy will be okay and healthy and back for another episode of Unplugged with the Phenom Charles Shane, covering your SmackDown and video game needs. Over the weekend, you can look forward to podcasts of Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman, the open book with the sensational sequel, and Lord, if I'm forgetting anyone, mind you, my brain has been in limbo this week. Oh, yes. The weekend edition of the Elite Force podcast with Walkie and Philip Mind White Morris this Sunday for Extreme Rules. Again, hopefully, well wishes to JJ. He'll be good. And I'm looking forward to he, Mark the Shark, the Trey Dog, covering Extreme Rules on Sunday Night Showdown this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. You don't need to suffer through Michael Cole. No one deserves that. Turn down the pay-per-view and listen to SNS. You will be entertained. You'll laugh. You'll cry. Monday night, of course, Wrestling News Live with the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. I'm sure JJ and Trey will have a lot to say about the fallout from Extreme Rules. And join me yet again, and hopefully the power Andy Knowles, my friend. I hope everything's good. I look forward to hearing from you. Hope that you've taken care of what you've needed to take care of. But we will be back to play with you again next Wednesday night, same time, same channel, same chat, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, right here on the SNS Radio Network. Enjoy Extreme Rules. I'm the Bronx Father. Wait, am I the Bronx Father? Let me make sure. Maybe I'm David Otunga. No, I'm pretty sure I'm the Bronx Father. I'm the Bronx Father. I'm out. Thank you for listening to The Rewind. Good night.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
You by. Hear this voice from deep inside. It's the call of your heart. Close your eyes.